Hi, welcome to Authentic Conversation with Kim. I hope that the podcast finds you well, as fitting. Thank you for allowing Authentic Conversation with Kim to be a part of your day. And as I'm beginning to say and have said before, it's like a hybrid. You never know what you're going to get, like a box of chocolates. It's just a hybrid. You never know what you're going to get, but you know the chocolate is good. I don't know if I mentioned this the other day, and starting to be more, vocal about what it is that I'm personally thinking about the state of affairs in the world and so on and so forth. And right now, the hot topic is abortion. And I think about how I was told when I was a child, I was told, my mom had told me that she wanted to abort me for whatever reason. However, it just didn't happen. And yay, right? Thanks be to God, I'm here. And I know that there are many women who have thought about it, considered it, contemplated it. I've heard testimonies of people being at clinics and, you know, thanks be to God, you have people with that was pro-life out there, or somebody said something, or they got a revelation or something like that. And, you know, they held fast to they decided to hold on and have their child. When I was in school and doing political science and constitutional law, one of the biggest, and even in high school, like the debates was always abortion, the death penalty. You could choose, you know, and debate. What were you going to debate? And those were already, they were always the strong topics. Constitutional law, Roe versus Wade, was always a hot topic in discussion. And so now, as years have gone by, to have it, you know, reemerge in the sense of actually possibly maybe or already have been changed or overturned is it's an interesting time. One, I would like to say that I find it very, 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 very disturbing that one of the highest courts in the land would have any level of breach. That's frightening to me. And it causes me to have alarm and pause as to where we are in our ability to conserve and to protect our privacy, if you know, because it's their privacy, and you know, protect our privacy. Another thing I thought about too, that whomever leaked it, you know, felt the need to do so in order to bring awareness to what might possibly be a happen. Additionally, I contemplated and thought about, not only are we divided, but even in the divisions, there are fragmentations and there are fractions of thought. And I don't, again, as you hear me on many occasions, do not know how we come together in harmony in order to accept whatever it is that our democracy says that's what we're going to do, right? The part about being a Christian or a conservative Christian, you know, I don't believe there's anything, and again, ACWKIM at Outlook.com, I have not fully read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, although I'm familiar with much of it, anything that speaks of abortion, right? Just like there's nothing that clearly talks about masturbation, you know, but irrespective, they both may be in there, right? But what I will say is that God gave us free will. and what one of us does to the other to impose upon somebody's free will is also going against what God would have designed, right? That outside of laws that we have implemented to prevent, again, and I mentioned this before, like you're free to drink and drive. However, there's laws that come up against that. So now a woman is free at this point in certain jurisdictions to decide whether or not she wants to keep the child in which she, the child, a seed, however you want to say it, you know, for however it came about, and she gets to decide whether or not she wants it or doesn't want it. And now we are gonna, or apparently there's supposed to be a law to decide to tell her, and again, that she can't, right? She can't do what she wants to do in regards to her own, pardon me, in regards to her own body. And so I find that most intriguing. Another thing that, you know, I contemplate and I think about is that, you know, we go hard on saying, okay, if you get pregnant, then you need to keep it, and then soft on preserving, soft on helping, soft on how it is that we're going to educate them, feed them, and so on. Another thing that we don't go hard on is abstinence. We don't go hard on fidelity. We don't go hard on monogamy. We don't go hard on those things that help more or less substantiate bringing a child into the world or give it more of a clear direction or more stability. We don't talk about that. And now, to my understanding, it's not just those that, again, okay, they had sex and now they find out they're pregnant and they don't want the baby for whatever reason. It's not just that incident. It's the one who, again, now if the baby decides that it doesn't want to breathe inside of them, now is that's considered an abortion, or is considered a DNC in order to take the baby out, or if it's in the fallopian tubes, or again, if it's between the child living or the mother living. And, you know, so it becomes a grave thing in regards to whether or not this is going to be a law, something that people are going to be able to partake in a safe way. One of the things that I do know is the reason why it was implemented was because women were opting not to continue on in the process of childbearing, and they were doing it in unsafe ways. And so, you know, it brings me back to the death penalty. It brings me back to how do we substantiate what life is and what valuable life is, and how do we preserve life in and of itself. The same person who, you know, says don't have abortion is the same person that believes in the death penalty. You know, and so it's just contradictory in many ways. And I know we've said this and people have said it, but we don't stop men or ask men, and or do respect, love y'all dearly, but we don't ask you guys or put in a law that says that you can't make more than two or three babies, or you need to govern your sperm and decide where it go. And again, if it goes somewhere, it ain't got no business going. Therefore, now you are suspect, or you a criminal, or you need to take that back or something like that. Like, we don't do that. Nor has it been done, nor has it even been a policy or a thought to bring it before the courts in my mind as to whether or not men, because again, a woman cannot be pregnant without sperm, without seeds. So we not even govern that. One of the other things that I thought about the other day too, so you don't want abortion, and yet still you kill a man for whatever reason, is that not the seed? So you kill the seed so it can't even be injected into the womb in order for it to procreate, to become a person. And so it's a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to what we substantiate as life and what life is valuable. And again, how do we preserve life? And so I find myself like, what are we doing? And then I found it interesting within this week, they're saying that there's a shortage. This is on the news. There's a shortage of baby formula. And so you saying don't abort the babies, bring the babies here, but then you don't got no formula to feed the babies. Okay, I don't get it. And so I just find it puzzling as to how we are really having this conversation and addressing it. I am pro-choice. And the reason why I am pro-choice, I'm also pro-life. You know what I'm saying? I'm in both. And I believe that you can be pro-choice and pro-life. I think it's going to always be predicated on the person and the situation. But I believe that if we don't have these options, if we don't have these laws, then it has to be a finite decision. And a lot of this stuff, as much as black and white I am, there seems to be some contingencies on certain things that we have to be mindful of. And we have to take a lot of these situations case by case basis. So now you're saying that if a woman decides to, and this is an interesting thing that, and you guys know this now, if you Google anything, if you look up anything, anything in your search engine, you know, is reflective, quote unquote, of you and what it is that you're going to do. So now if they decide to say, okay, and I saw this, and I'm repeating it, but if, you know, they decide to say, okay, in this state or in that state or in the country is not viable or you can't do it, and someone goes to search it and find some place in order to allow it to happen, then therefore they are now committing a crime and committing a crime with somebody else. I think it's interesting that even now, so crimes that were crimes 20 years ago is no longer crimes. And things that were permitted are now crimes or will become crimes. A lot of people now, you have people advocating for, you know, the younger generation, and a lot of things that have transpired now is because there were no particular advocates, or they were advocates for a decade and then they stopped being advocates because we have a tendency to get complacent in what is going on. And so now you're advocating for people because, again, let them have that choice. But I also will say, how about we go hard on abstinence? How about we go hard on, you know, being virtuous? How about we go hard on weight? How about we go hard on helping self-control and providing discipline for, what do you call that thing that we go through? We all go through it. But you know what I mean? Like, why don't we have those conversations? And again, I mentioned this not too long ago. It was a problem when they wanted to add contraceptives to the school, you know, as a preventive measures from impregnating people and also impregnating persons, women, and also, you know, prevention of sexual transmitted diseases. But we got lax on that, right? Because again, you found somewhat of a remedy for HIV, which again, even in a remedy for HIV, it appears to be only people who can actually afford it, and or it's only applicable to men and not women. And yet and still, they found themselves to be prey or to be victims of men not letting them know that they were on a down low, or men not letting them know that they were positive, and again, playing on naivety or playing on vulnerability or just clearly lying. And so it's not okay that, again, we find ourselves in the forefront of what we can and cannot do, you know, or how it is that we can and cannot do. And it's disheartening because, again, if you tell us as women or a woman that she's not permitted to make decisions about her person, whether who she lays with, if she laid with them one time, that she has to forever be committed to a person that clearly won't be committed to her. Or clearly won't be committed to what they created together. And what I don't like is that we make errors and we make mistakes and, you know, we do things and not contemplating the aftermath or whatever. And yet and still you want to have people beholden to something that, again, wasn't purposeful or wasn't meaningful or wasn't something that they clearly thought through. And so what is life about? I mean, again, judgment is reserved for God and God alone. And women who have had abortions and who, for whatever reason, they have to live with that decision. Just like the person who has committed a crime and find themselves incarcerated on life, on death row or whatever, they have to live with that decision. And yet and still, we have nothing in place to, one, prevent somebody from making said decisions or erroring in certain ways or being rehabilitated or being in a place of forgiveness or repentance. And it's easier said than done, again, when it's not you and it's not you walking in that situation or you contemplating. Yeah, we can all say don't have sex. We can say that. But we know sex is nice. The sex is good. God created it for it to be good. People enjoy it. So what do we put in the mix of it in order to prevent some things, in order to, again, to provide for the children that come? And again, I don't, most of the women that I know, most that I know who procreated purposely, thought or figured that who they procreated with would be with them and would help rear the child and help provide for the child and teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, and it wouldn't be so hard and so trying and so difficult. And so many of those women and many of those situations have went a bust, and yet and still the child is still here. And we thank God for every child that has been born on this earth. We've just celebrated Mother's Day. And there are no regrets, right, for them being here because they're here now. But to say to a person, which referencing a woman, that you have to because for one moment in time it happened, they like even the plan B. And this is what my overall thing is. If God wants a child to be here, it's going to be here. I have a good friend. She's very comical. And she says that she got pregnant and she went and got the plan B pill. It was in a timely fashion, in a manner. And the baby is, the little girl is here. Beautiful little girl. You know, and so again, you have people who decided that they want, and they got the whole thing together. They got the finances, they got the room, they got everything together, and yet and still there's no baby. And they don't know why there's no baby, and they don't factor it in that there's a baby, but there's no baby. And so most of the people who end up being affected by it are, as they said the other day, are people who are not educated, unfortunately, or people who have poor finances. Because for some reason, and this is puzzling to me, I don't understand how your sex drive is heightened when you ain't got no money. I don't even understand that. That don't work for me. Or how it's heightened when, you know, everybody broke. Like, I don't get it. Or how people is heightened when, again, you, like, I don't get that. That I don't get. But I'm just different, I guess. But it's a thing. And so you have people who, again, are disenfranchised or uneducated, unfortunately, or lack certain thoughts and become pregnant. And again, find themselves in certain situations. You know, people have to be honest that, you know, condoms and all that other stuff is good. But in the moment, in the time of the action. Ain't nobody thinking about that for some reason. And so bringing more awareness to it, and maybe, I don't know, just maybe if they say, okay, you can't have an abortion, maybe that would be something of abstinence, because they know if, God forbid, they get caught up and get trapped or whatever, there's no out for them. Maybe that, you know, maybe that's a mechanism that will, you know, help and benefit certain people. But I just want to say that irregardless of, and I keep working on that word, I got to look it up, I'm sorry, y'all, but, you know, regardless of where we stand on abortion, that it has to be respect in our conversation. It has to be respect and mindfulness in our protesting, because, again, God gave us free will. And so, and please, if you are for abortion, you know, and again, it's not relative to you because of age or because of, you know, surgical things or whatever, whatever you're going through or have gone through, you know, be mindful of those people who, again, are strong for pro-life, right? And if you're pro-life, be mindful of those people who find themselves in dire situations. And again, they want to out for it, you know, or they want a relief, or they have come to the grips of, you know, it's too much. You have women who have postpartum depression because of having a baby, or you have women who don't have the support system. And again, you know, people are frowned upon if they're on social services, if they're on welfare, if they're too long or how long, or if they ask in the state to help them, they're frowned upon. They're shamed. They're embarrassed. You know, again, we like the stories who the women who, again, was on welfare and she had 2 and 3 kids and she went to college and she graduated and so on and so forth. And now she has her first house and all this stuff is beautiful, is wonderful. But everybody doesn't have that story. And so, you know, even as believers, you know, we find ourselves being very critical upon people when before they met Jesus, or the fact that they in Jesus, or the fact they trying to get to know Jesus. We're very critical upon people. And so a lot of people, you know, feel shame about making decisions. Or a lot of people feel shamed about asking, or, you know, having to ask because of the mere fact of how we treat each other, or how we talk about each other, or how there's a stigma. And as I'm grown and I'm looking around that, you know, life happens, and it happens to all of us. And even when they say live long enough, you'll see, we can't really say never to situations. And again, if not us, what about our family members? What about our friends? What about our loved ones? What about our dear ones? What about our children? We have to consider that and contemplate that. And I think a lot of this is not that. I don't think a lot of it is contemplating the overall big picture. And for, you know, the sake of me, I just really wonder about the human race. And I wonder about what is the decisions that we're making. Do we want the human race? We don't want the human race. Are we trying to erase the human race? What are we trying to do? We're trying to make the human race robotic. Like, what are we trying to do? What is the end goal? And again, I see division and I see fragmentation as to what it is that we're going to do or what needs to be done in order for us to have some level of harmony amongst the masses. And I've said this and I've been saying this over a few years that, again, we devalue life. And don't get me wrong. So just because you're saying, okay, well, don't have an abortion does not mean that you value life. You can say that. It looked like that. It sounds good. But again, once they hear, no matter what color, what creed or whatever, then what you going to do? What's your goal? What's your purpose? Because the way we were reared, it takes a whole village. Nobody is an island. We need each other. Because it's interesting that when it's come down to democracy, you need a whole lot of votes. Those are people. Think about demographics and stuff. So we all up in here together. And so these are the things that I just been thinking about and I'm really puzzled about. And so I pray for us all. And you have women who, again, they aren't able to have children. And we have children who remember, and I think I mentioned this the other day. You remember when people would have them or the girls would have them and they would leave them at the churches or leave them at the fire department? And then what is the child neglect? Not too long ago, a few years ago, a high school student had her baby at a football game in the bathroom because she was too embarrassed or too ashamed to tell her parents, and somehow nobody noticed that she was pregnant or whatever. And so instead of saying, keep your legs closed, keep it in your pants, we don't advocate for that. We don't talk about that. We don't yell that across the world. And now our children, like, what is an abortion? What is an abortion? So now you got to sit here and tell the children, because it's worldwide, it's on commercials and everything, it's everywhere. Got to tell them what abortion is. And when you go to from abortion, now you got to go to the birds and the bees. So I'm just trying to figure out where we are. You know, you have people who don't want to procreate at all, which is, again, free will and their choice. Then you have people who was doing too much procreation. But I'm a firm believer based on me being in existence at this moment in time that having it or not having it is not going to stop God from doing what he wants to do. And again, we become these people who don't appear to be civilized by no means. And that's not good to show any child. Or become hateful. And then you classify it and say, okay, what is it? If it's murder from the planet of the seed, then it's murder when you kill the person who can plant the seed. And we don't talk about that or we don't think about that. If it's about life, then all life is valuable. No matter how they got here, no matter who their parent is, no matter what their income bracket is, no matter what. And for those who have gotten into jobs to help, I pray for you. And I pray that you continue to be vigilant and have the passion to help. For those that have to make the decisions, I pray for you. Because again, we really don't know how a lot of this is going to turn out. I know my mom used to say, and this is her, but if Jeffrey Dahmer mother knew that he was going to be some serial killer or whatever it is that he became, you know what I'm saying? And only a woman knows. Just like she know when her man ain't being faithful, just like when she knows something ain't right or something, or when she about to get her menstruation, you know what I mean. And she knows. And again, it's about becoming more vigilant and being mindful. And again, aiming to safeguard and having some level of discretion and some order about what it is that we do going forward. And so to say no to it, I think that it'd be something that would not be the best, because it's been in place for over whatever years, decades or whatever, and we seem to be okay, right? And again, I don't know if it's just something to, you know, keep us busy and to keep us distracted and, you know, whatever, not focused on what really needs to be focused on. Like, again, you know, how about we value our bodies? How about we be mindful of who we lay down with and procreate with? How about we put on a condom? How about we just say no? How about we read a book? You understand what I'm saying? How about you find yourself praying, Jesus, take this feeling away from me? You understand what I'm saying? Like, help us, Lord Jesus. Help the human race, please, God. Help our country. I pray that everyone would be safe and peaceful in the process of us finding out what the decision will be and able to move forward in a place of harmony, in order that, you know, those that will come behind us, those that would have to be in this decision, would be able to make the right decision, that we'd be able to have the opportunities or the chances or the mechanisms or devices, you know, in order to help make the decision that's best for them. And please do not misunderstand me and get me wrong, because historically we've had girls that had babies at very young ages. And again, they've had fine lives, successful lives. It's been trying and difficult, but it is what it is. And then you've had some women who have had abortions and who have had mental hurt and deficiencies because of it, because they weren't able to forgive themselves or let it go, kind of thing. And then you've had women on both sides that, again, have made decisions that they felt at the time was best for them and best for whatever their situation is. And we have to be able to have that discernment and be able to allow them that, if nothing else. But overall, it is teaching. It is guiding. It is directing. It is providing. It is helping, again, in order to make the best decision for society in and of itself and for the people who partake in society and are participants in society. And so that's my thought on it for right now. You know how we do. Imagine my face.